ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
There are currently more than half a dozen inquiries underway into the supermarket industry in Australia. One of them has just been conducted for the ACTU by Professor Alan Fells, the former head of the ACCC. But there was a lot more to his look at price gouging than just the supermarkets. He's our guest this morning. Professor, good morning.
Good morning.
Everyone is talking about supermarkets at the moment. What did you think of the Four Corners report on Monday?
Well, first of all, the highlight was the CEO of Woolies walking out, and that's a public relations 101 total failure. You just don't walk out of TV interviews. It looks bad. And that, of course, was followed by his resignation a day or so later. There was also a public relations fiasco with the publicity about their non-selling of Australia Day items. It was just handled very badly, no matter what the commercial pros and cons were. Regarding the program generally, I thought it was good, but perhaps no knockout blows. There was a pretty interesting segment about the fact that a supplier claimed that to be allowed a 5% price increase, the supplier had to pay $25,000. Now, that was just a single instance. So I hope the ACCC will try to find out whether that was a single instance or a general practice.
You mentioned the CEO, and much has been made of the performance not only of the Woolworths CEO, but the Coles CEO, who seemed to be the complete opposite. She barely gave any coherent answers. They were all very quiet. She rejected everything that was said to her. But do you think that that actually drew attention away from the main part of the program, which is how the big supermarkets deal with their suppliers and their producers?
Yes, yes. She was much more polished without giving too much away. In fact, without giving anything away or admitting anything. Nevertheless, the program left you with a fairly powerful impression of the treatment of suppliers. And that matter is being handled by Craig Emerson in his inquiry into the code of conduct, which, as the program pointed out, is a bit of a tokenistic code.
Now, supermarkets are not the only industry that you were looking at in this report for the ACTU. There was the aviation industry, there was banks, electric vehicles, medical charges, big pharma, electricity, cartels, petrol price, childcare, a lot of things like that. And you were looking specifically at price gouging. And there are many different types of price gouging techniques used by these big companies. Let's just run through a few of them and you can explain how it works. Loyalty taxes. This is, I suppose, where people who are already the customers of certain brands, they don't get any advantage, whereas new customers do.
Yes, that's right. So in a lot of industries, you're lured in with a low price, and often unknown to you, the price goes up and up and up. And the longer you stay, the more you pay for your loyalty. Insurance has been a great example of it in Australia because until recently you'd get your premium for the coming year, but you wouldn't be told what you paid last year or what the increase was. It's interesting, there's been some regulatory clampdown requiring insurers to do this, and that's a sign that with a lot of these practices, governments or regulators can take actions which partly undo the harm associated with loyalty taxes and some of the other forms of pricing that are going on.
So we're often told, if you don't like what you're paying, switch to another energy provider, for example. But you can't keep doing that, can you?
No, it's difficult, quite difficult to switch suppliers. And by the way, if you do show signs to the supplier or to the bank that you might be switching, once they recognise you, you'll get a better rate.
Yeah.
I mean, if you ring up and say, I want a better rate, they'll mark you down as a person who might desert them, so they'll give you a special rate, but they won't give it to their truly loyal customers who are not thinking of leaving the bank. And at the same time, they're aware of some competition from others, but instead of a full frontal response to it where they cut all their prices, they just tend to cut prices for that category of customer who might actually leave them.
We also see that with newspaper and magazine subscriptions, that new subscribers get something quite often half the price of existing subscribers for exactly the same thing.
Yes. Now, in general, my attitude to a lot of these behaviours is that because there's a background of weak competition in many sectors of the economy, the practices can be used to exploit consumers. If it's a very competitive industry, I'm a bit more relaxed about some of the pricing practices, but unfortunately that's not the case. And so these practices are more exploitative than I would like.
Okay. There's also drip pricing. Just explain how drip pricing exists.
So that means that you start buying a product and you accept the price, and then you find out, well, there's more to pay, maybe a credit card charge, maybe a booking fee, an administration fee, and further down the track yet other fees. And that's called drip pricing. It's quite widespread in accommodation, entertainment, credit cards, telephone bills, all over. It can be only partly addressed by trying to make sure people know in advance what they're going to pay. Now, on occasions, it's fully justified. You know, you have to make a choice at some points of the booking decision. But in many cases, you don't know in advance that you're going to cop these extras. That's drip pricing.
So we see it especially with some airlines, less so in Australia than elsewhere, but might be at hotels. You get charged resort fees, all sorts of things like that.
Yes, since I've mentioned it in my report, I've been hearing more and more examples of the sort you've just mentioned.
Mm. Or you might be charged baggage fees on planes or for food on planes, whereas you look at the price of the flight, you think, that's all I'll pay. That's not what it is. There's also, I love this, excuseflation. The fact that inflation is going up and prices go up because, well, we've got inflation and therefore prices go up, and in fact there's no need for the prices to go up.
Yes, that's right. The inflation's a kind of camouflage. Everyone else's prices are going up. So even if your price rises are not justified, in that climate, it's fairly easy to get your prices up and make it sound as if it's due to inflation.
Let's talk about confusion pricing. Where would we see examples of confusion pricing?
Well, telecommunications is another famous one. Energy, electricity, they've got all sorts of qualifications to it. And as a result, you don't really know what you'll end up paying. Thing electricity, they've got time of day and energy used and all sorts of things. And telephones, it's just endless, the complications there.
For example?
Now, you know, what plane you're on, what storage you can have, what usage, when, and so on. So normally a telephone plan is half a dozen to a dozen variables just to get it settled at the start. There are also many complications about international calls.
I thought that had become a little simpler. Certainly with Telstra, it's now $5 or $10 a day and that's it. How have they made it more complicated?
Yeah, well, not everyone's followed Telstra. Not all countries, most countries, but not all are covered by the simple Telstra plan. I remember discussing this whole issue some years ago, and someone said, well, if there was true competition, someone would come in and make simple offers to attract customers. But that's not happened on a significant scale.
Let's talk about asymmetric or rockets and feathers pricing. What's a rocket and what's the feather?
Well, when costs go up and business puts up prices, they put them up like a rocket, very fast and high. when costs go down, so the prices paid to farmers go down, the prices fall very slowly to the ground like a feather. That's the rockets and feathers story. And it's, again, quite widespread and of particular concern in today's inflation environment, because inflation's coming down a bit and we want prices to come down fast rather than like a feather.
I think most people would encounter this when it comes to petrol prices. They seem to go up overnight by 10, 20 cents a litre, and it takes them a long time to come back down again.
That's an excellent example known to many, many people, but it does apply in other industries as well.
Alan Fells is our guest, Professor Alan Fells. Algorithmic pricing.
Yeah. So really what I'm above all getting at is the use of sophisticated pricing techniques using algorithmic methodology, the availability of a huge amount of data, and the power of the digital platforms and so on has enabled a huge rise in price discrimination, charging different prices to different people for the same product.
For example, I mean, we're talking about seats on airlines, that's one thing, but what other things we're talking about here?
Well, I'd say many of the online products. Actually, let me tell you a story. It's not a big one, but I have a friend who's crazy about buying new books, and the day they appear, he orders them. And he buys big, and he thought, I'm such a good customer, I'll start getting some discounts. But the exact opposite happened, and he never got discounts. Then he noticed he was also buying clothes from that source, and he found he wasn't getting good prices there because that classified him as a big payer. So what is really happening is that knowing more about customers, businesses are getting better and better at separating out the ones who'll pay more, who need to pay more, who want to pay more, etc., and charging them very high and extracting quite a big profit whilst supplying other customers less willing to pay at a price that is still acceptable to them.
I would recommend that your friend waits a month or two and then go to St. Vincent de Paul, where I'm sure those books would exist. What about surge pricing then? Is that part of this? That's where, you know, if you need an Uber, for example, on New Year's Eve, you're going to be paying a lot more than an Uber on April the 15th or something.
That's right. So the classic argument for that is that if you put up the price, then it cuts back demand and increases supply. Up to a point, there's truth in that, but beyond a point, it seems unfair. And the most famous example with the Lindt Cafe tragedy shooting in the centre of Sydney, there's a huge surge in demand for Uber, and its price formula took the price up to four times normal and above. And that seemed exploitative and unfair. I think they actually later set a limit of four.
Is it the case, though, with Uber, that there is a legitimate competitor? In fact, there are other ride-sharing apps that you could use, or there are taxis where there are standard set fares?
That's right. Although it's interesting that in some states, taxis are now allowed to make some variations at peak time. They've just put their toe in the water a bit on that. But the trouble is that, generally speaking, because taxis have fixed prices at all times, higher at night than in the daytime, but still fixed, there tends to be shortages of them at peak hour. Now, the argument for a high price then is that it may attract a bigger supply of drivers. So I don't want to completely discount the idea of having peak and off-peak prices, but it is seemingly very unfair to customers, and businesses need to strike a balance, explain the rationale to customers, and so on.
What about something where you buy, it could be white goods, it could be even just takeaway food, where it's less for cash, that in essence you are being charged extra for using a credit card? Is that a form of price gouging as well?
Well, with the cash payment, obviously there are some advantages to the person you're paying. I hope they don't include dodging tax. Perhaps just one other point to emphasise about that. Sometimes, again, they want to distinguish between the customers who are more and less likely to come back.
Right.
The ones a bit less likely to come back, maybe they're the ones that want to pay cash. So for competitive reasons, they offer a lower price to them in the hope of keeping them coming back next time. That could be one factor in it. Of course, there are cost factors and that kind of thing as well.
When it comes to surge pricing or algorithmic pricing or asymmetrical pricing, at the Australian Open this year, prices went through the roof for some of the matches. And you could be sitting next to somebody who paid three or four times as much for pretty much the same seat. We've seen this surge pricing at concerts in the United States. We haven't seen it necessarily here in Australia. Is there a reluctance by ticket sellers, who are some of the greatest price gougers of all time, that the way that they charge for some tickets, is there a reluctance for them to institute that in Australia, do you think?
Yes, we're probably just a bit slower in adopting those pricing practices. You know, with the tennis, it's not clear to me that they shouldn't have made all the seats available to everyone at a fixed price, but they seem to have been holding back some seats so that they can charge really high prices at the end. And I'm not sure that's desirable. It's just a way of gouging consumers.
So is the ACCC unable to intervene with any of these things?
Well, look, broadly they can't. The ACCC, for all its worthiness, is only interested in high prices that are the result of direct, unlawful, illegal collusion and communication between business. With that exception, they're not meant to deal with pure questions of high prices, whether they're monopolies or dominant firms, whether they're duopolists who can coordinate their prices without actually breaking law. It's only breaking law if they communicate directly to one another. There's also another source of very high prices, that is government. The government may take actions which cause high prices. A good example was Qantas and Qatar. If the government had let Qatar in, then, or to expand its capacity, prices would have fallen about 20 or 30%. So that's an example of another area of concern, government actions to put up prices. Now, none of the ones I've mentioned are covered by the competition law. There's quite a big policy gap. We do nothing about it, despite the fact that in the public mind, there's nothing more important than the cost of living, and prices are a major driver of the cost of living.
What about in some cases where there is no competition, and I'm thinking about government here, the cost of a passport, for example, in Australia is hugely more expensive than just about every other country in the world, and the government has control over that, does nothing about it.
Well, it is a monopoly. I do believe that it's time we recognise that the government is the biggest organisation which is exempt from competition law and from price scrutiny. So I reckon we should set up arrangements that any prices, including government prices, should be looked at by an independent body.
There are independent pricing tribunals when it comes to energy, water, that sort of stuff. Are they doing their job properly?
Well, they've got the right idea. But as you say, they are very much limited to cases of pure monopoly. There's not much argument about the justification of price control there. There have been famous cases where the regulators got it wrong. for example, with transmission of power from the generators through to the last point of contact with consumers, the regulated price was obviously set too high for about 15 years ago. We've never got compensation for that. So regulation can cause prices that are too high, but otherwise they're generally not looked at. There's nothing like that except for the pure monopoly cases. And I did recommend one addition to that list, that's airports, which is a clear monopoly with its charges, including to the airlines.
Finally then, this report you've done for the ACTU, do you expect something to come of it? Do you think that governments, not only federal but state governments, will look at that and do something about it?
Yes. The ACTU executive met yesterday, actually met them, and they resolved to make a big campaign issue out of it. They'll be pushing it. And the history of price regulation in Australia is that it's never happened without the unions pushing it. So they've decided to give it a push, and I expect there'll be some impact. The government is aware that it's a number one concern to consumers, prices. The economists and economic advisors tend not to understand this, but politicians and other people in touch with the community do, and they recognise the public wants something done, so they're likely, in my view, to act on my general recommendations. Let's see.
Let's certainly hope so. Alan Fels, thank you so much for your time.
Good. Thank you very much.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music and more.